episode is brought to you by Squash Clothing and Sugar Life.
Welcome to the Overly Excited podcast, hosted by Jack Watts and Dale Sidebottom.
Two friends with a passion for life, learning,
and all things that get them jumping out of their seats.
All right, everyone, we're back. It's episode 30. It is a Friday. We are a little bit late.
We've only just made it. We've scraped through this week because of all your requests. We couldn't miss another week, could we, Sidey?
We couldn't, Jacko. Now, before we start, I've had some pretty average facts lately, and I couldn't even pronounce one the other week. It was that bad. Now, for 30, I've actually got a game for us today. Do you want to play a game? Yep. All right, so we're going to count up any multiple of three. So 3, 6, 9, 12. Okay, any multiple of three.
You got to say
excited.
Excited.
Okay. Or 13 or 23.
Okay, anything with a three.
Three in it. So if we get to 30, we win the game because then there's a three in every 30. So it's excited. Okay. All right, so we're going to have three goes at it.
Okay.
All right, so 1.
2.
Excited.
4.
5.
Excited.
7.
8.
Excited.
10.
11.
Excited.
Excited.
14.
Excited.
16.
17.
Excited.
19.
20.
Excited.
22.
Excited.
Excited.
25.
26.
Excited.
28.
29.
Excited. Excited. Excited.
I can't believe we got that.
Wow. Oh, exciting. Well, I mean, Buzz, I was the champion at Buzz back in the day.
You were very good at that then. If you could only see your face, you would concentrate so hard.
I fucking love that game. Yeah. What a great game it is.
Oh, there you go. There's one. That's what I do for a job, Jacko.
Well done. Thanks, mate. That's got me up.
Well,
that was Friday morning.
Was better than one of my average quotes or stories.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. Now, before we start, and I want to talk about your week because
you've
been all over the shop. Typical, Jacko. But Anzac Day yesterday, I know you didn't watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best game of the year. Why? Yep. Grand final, there's neutral supporters everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You look at yesterday and the history around the Anzac and what it means, and it's just Collingwood Essendon. It was 90 plus thousand at the G, and it was a cracking game. I know we've spoken recently about I find a lot of games hard to watch now because it's a little bit boring.
Mm.
That wasn't. It was amazing.
Cracking.
So for everyone playing, well done. And I know you didn't watch it, but
I didn't watch it, but saw that it was a draw, and I can only imagine it would have been a pretty good game. I was busy out having a hike down at Bush Rangers Bay, mate, down at Flinders. But I mean that game is. I actually went to and watched the Anzac Day Eve game, Melbourne Richmond. Nadal was there with a few of her friends, so I said I'd pop in, but managed to last a quarter and then headed home to bed. But I was a bit knackered as I've had a big week, as you said. But it was not. It was, you know, beautiful to see the service beforehand and the build up. And you know, I think those games. It's interesting, isn't it? But like all the teams now want a signature game. You know, something to put it in the calendar. It's very hard to manufacture it out of nowhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you know, the D's and Tigers have done very well, sort of sneaking in Anzac Day Eve.
Did you never got that?
Yeah.
You got
Oh, I might have kicked four on Big Rant one day. But I got it. I think I was there when we first started. So I think I probably got maybe two or three of them in. Early we were pretty average, and then, you know, I think we had one or two pretty good ones where the Tigers were good. We were decent. I reckon that was probably, you know, one of my favourite games.
Oh, it would be for sure.
I think we had one where it was in front of 80, 80-ish, and, you know, might have kicked a couple and put them to the sword, so that was good. But
standing out there, like, that's the thing I love about going, obviously, I barrack for the Bombers, so I really enjoy Anzac Day, but just that start. I don't know any other sporting spectacle in the world that there's something that's must be amazing standing out there.
Yeah, it was pretty epic. And even just the build-up too, like obviously all the clubs now, they put a lot of effort into it and they bring in people to have a chat and you learn a lot about the history and, you know, having that sort of element there. Like I always found it, you know, it's sort of sad that it takes something like that for us to think about
learn
it, but
about
at the same
it.
Time it's like, you know, We do out the best we can, but you know, just like thinking back, even for me, like the other day, you know, Wednesday night and yesterday, it's like that actually happened to some people. You know, like it's so hard to like actually think, you know, that these guys, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds heading off to war.
Some 16, 15, they lied about their age.
Yeah, and getting killed and living, you know, it's like that actually happened, you know, not so long ago. And, you know, just imagining like what that would have been like, or you can't.
Well, I actually, when I was living in London, I went over to Turkey, to Gallipoli for the 150th like service.
Shit,
and you go there
amazing.
And you sleep on this hill at Anzac Cove.
Yeah.
And then you get up and you do the services and you walk around
like
where they were and the places they were. And there's this one part that really was really chilling for me is, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like a 20-meter opening, and that's where there was a ditch and it was like kamikaze. Like they just kept running and they were just getting shot down.
Yeah.
They knew what was happening, but
they were told they had to get over there
I think the games, particularly Anzac Day with Collingwood Essendon now, Tigers and Demons, has been brilliant for bringing awareness, you know, that educating around it and what it actually means. But going over there, and I know you're going to go and you're going to Kokoda. I think when you experience something like that firsthand and you get to see it, like I still because there's all different spots around it and –
it's crazy. Amazing. Exactly. When it becomes real, you know, to like, it's not just a story in school, or it's not just this. You actually go over and see what's, you know, what they had to do and stuff. It's it's pretty crazy. So,
yeah. Well, cool, anyway, there we go. Move on. Now I'm excited to talk about this. Not once, twice missed flights. I know this one wouldn't have been as expensive of a Europe one.
Yeah, this one wasn't quite as, and it was probably, it wasn't really a missed flight. It was just a change, sort of, you know. The 7:55 a.m. on the Monday was a bit ambitious after a Saturday, Sunday
wedding
up in Brisbane. But I decided to take the sleep in and just relax. But that's why we don't have the beautiful Georgie Parker on the pod, ladies and gentlemen, because Jackie boy just needed a bit of a sleep in on the Monday. But we will get her back on hopefully next week, I think. It was an amazing wedding. Oh, it was just one of these two. They're just so relaxed and funny, and like even just the ceremony was hilarious. One of our friends was the celebrant, and she was brilliant. Cool. And just, you know, it wasn't all the standard, like, you know,
traditional
religious stuff. It was just, you know, hilarious stories. And both the, you know, bride and groom, like, they're both very, very funny in their own little ways.
Yeah.
And so then it became almost like a comedy skit. It was hilarious. But, beautiful wedding. And then, I was sort of tossing up whether to stay on the Sunday, locked it in, and then, you know me,
a good time.
Once you're there, you got to give it everything you got.
Life of the party, Jacko.
Exactly. So that was beautiful. But it just coming back Monday arvo puts the week out a little bit, and then I had a big photo shoot on Tuesday, so straight into a big photo shoot for Squashies, and then the week was a bit of mayhem after that. So we've made it here Friday morning for the most important thing of the week, the potty.
And it's been a short week too with the public holiday, which throws everything out.
Yeah.
Were you MC?
No.
Oh, so kick you would back, have the baby. Best time.
Yeah, kick back. No, it was beautiful.
That's
very, very nice.
That's a wedding. That's what you want.
Yeah, it was good.
I've got one for you, mate. So last week, obviously, you spoke about how you want to become a pro golfer.
Oh, yes.
You want to play NBL and you're going to run marathons for a living.
Yes.
And I'm like, there's so many.
Well, I don't feel like I could do any on this week, I can tell you.
And I thought, you know what? Like, I need to challenge myself on something. And I've spoken about this before, but I always thought I'd be good at Survivor, like go on the TV show, but I wouldn't be because they don't – I love to eat. They don't eat and they hardly sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's torture. Like, so I've actually realised I don't think that's for me.
That's not for you.
Yeah, and also, like, you've got to be away for a long period of time. Mm. So in a way, it's a little bit selfish, I feel. And it probably wouldn't be the best for my business. I don't think you get paid. So I don't know how you'd
What if you win the million?
Well, I don't even think it's that much.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it might only be like $250,000. Okay. Like, that's nice, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of other people going in. Like, you're not guaranteed to do that, and I'd probably upset someone. I'd say the wrong thing. Like, let's be honest.
You'd be what kind of a player would you be? Would you be backstabbing? Would you be bringing everyone in? Like, I'm in your camp, you guys, and then bang, see you later.
You want to play, I reckon, if you're going to play Survivor, and this is where Brie and I talk about it. She goes, you wouldn't be able to do this because you're too outspoken and it's all about you.
You want to sit back and let everyone else
sit back.
Let everyone else combust.
Let them do all the decisions.
You'd be combusting. You'd be out there creating dramas. And, nah, I'm not having this. This girl's telling me I can't do this. Nah.
I'd be voted straight out. They're like, get rid of that idiot. Jeez, he's annoying. I thought I was friends with everyone. They all hated me.
Oh, my God. You would be so entertaining on that show.
Yeah, but I think I'd lose my mind not eating. Yeah. They just eat rice and coconut. Like, wowee, I could not function on that. Mm. So anyway, I've always thought, like, going on a TV show and talk about maybe you've been invited on a few TV shows,
Jacob. I have,
yes. And I've always loved, like, I've always wanted to do a game show. Why? Because you're putting yourself out there so vulnerable. You don't know what's going to happen. But I've always been a little bit scared. So I thought, you know what, when you said you're going to become pro golf, basketball and marathons, I thought, I'm going to apply for Tipping Point. Do you know Tipping Point?
Tipping Point, no.
And I actually really enjoyed the UK version. So it's on at 3 o'clock every day. You're probably working, Jack. I just happened to sort of watch it sometime. I really enjoyed it. Anyway, there's now an Australian one. So I put myself out there and applied for Tipping Point.
If we know any producers at Tipping Point, put this man's name through because ratings will skyrocket. Oh,
or I'll make a fool of myself. But anyway, I thought, you know what, like, it's about time you challenge yourself and do something. Like,
what's Tipping Point? Is it like general knowledge? Is it some question? Yeah.
Yeah, it's general knowledge. And then you get like this coin in this machine and you got to drop it in and it pushes coins out. Okay. So there's a bit of luck involved
in it.
And there's a lot of general knowledge and so it's got a bit of everything going on.
I do, as you say, like, I always think about that, like, you know, I like to think I'm relatively intelligent. I've got a little bit of general knowledge
in me.
But I always think that, like, going on those shows, what if you just get the easiest question
and you go blank, and then
you're a dum-dum. To the world.
And everyone will call you that for the rest of your life. And I know that. And that's where I'm like, no, I need that though.
I need to feel
that uncomfortableness. And I think that's important. So, when you mentioned that, I'm like, I've been thinking about this for a while.
Yeah.
And I just did it. Now, your TV journey, you haven't done any of these, but can you reel off some of the shows you've been invited to be on?
Oh, look, geez. Well, it was all sort of, you know, it was probably just after I've finished playing footy and then, you know, I've had plenty of drama. So they're probably thinking, you know, we could just capitalize on this bloke.
This bloke's weak. He's vulnerable.
But we had, you know, had the Big Brother call and I had the SAS army thing call.
Ant Millington
or whatever, one of them. And then I had, what was the other one? There was like the bridge or something.
That was probably one of the worst shows.
So that was a good one.
Not a bridge.
Okay. Yeah.
What about another show started with B?
With B.
You get roses.
The Bachelor.
You haven't?
No. I've had calls from the producers, you know. I think they knew that I wouldn't be interested, but do you have any friends? You got any, you know, single mates that would want to give it a go? But no, I'd look at the Survivor and even the SAS, like, if it wasn't straight after I'd just finished and I wanted a bit of a break, I reckon I'd enjoy that. But Bachelor and whatever else there is. No,
junk,
thanks.
Mate. You reckon you look silly.
Big Brother.
Yeah. You reckon you look silly on a game show. Imagine going on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, they'll edit you up however they want you to be.
Spot on.
And if they want you to be a wanker, that's what you are.
Exactly.
I reckon you'd be good at that SAS. I don't
SAS
know if you watch
would be
it.
Good, yeah. I haven't really watched a lot of it, but it looks
pretty
like
full on, but it's a good challenge. I think you would personally do well at it and enjoy it.
Yeah. I think, like, you know, I mean, it's easy to say, I guess, isn't it? But, you know, I think I've been through enough of that sort of shit to not...
You've still got trauma taken from that.
To not really, you know, get too flustered by it. And, you know, I think that's all they just want to see you lock in and, you know.
And I think that's real too. Like, I don't know. That's the sort of thing I want to watch. And that's why I like Survivor. Like, they may edit up or whatever, but there are people out there, like, they're starving them.
Yeah.
They're doing all sorts of things to them. Like, that's...
I'll tell you I'll tell you the one I love is Alone. Have you seen Alone?
Oh, I have. Could you do that?
Oh, I'd love to. I mean, look, I might last 10 minutes, but I just think, like, I was funny. We were on this hike yesterday, and I was talking to Ellen about it, and I'd love, like, I think as I'm getting a bit older and, like, things become a bit monotonous in your life, and you're all the same shit. Like, I love fucking adrenaline. I want to test myself, and I want to, you know, all this bullshit about becoming a, you know, golfer or whatever. It's like, it's all just about, like, test, you know. Want to, instead of just living the average, you want to try and, you know, really sort of test the boundaries. So I was just like, we were talking about it, and I was like, there's got to be some like company out there or whatever that sort of, you know, in terms of hikes or like living off the land, or like that take you through it, even if you don't have any experience, they can sort of give you, you know, whether it's a 10-day camping trip where, yeah, you literally don't have anything, you got no, you know, access to the outside world, whatever. And then you can sort of, what I was hoping is, like, you can just keep going, you can just keep finding, you know, like harder and harder and harder sort of camps, like real adrenaline sort of seeking stuff. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, you know, I'd love to do that with someone who sort of knows what they're doing. Yeah, so I don't just die.
I wouldn't like to do it with you. Exactly. You would like to do it with me.
Imagine me and you out there.
We'd just be cuddling. Yeah. No food, no fire.
But, like, exactly. Freezing our balls off. But imagine that. Like, I'd fucking love to do it. Because, like, you know, then it just, like, it's actually hard.
Yeah.
It's stuff that, and then you come back to our little cushy life and everything's so easy and everything's, and you'd actually appreciate it so much more, I reckon. You'd appreciate your hot shower and you'd appreciate your bed, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think, obviously, I got that playing footy. Like, I got those really hard tests every now and then. You know, we'd go on a 10-day pre-season camp and it's just fucked and you hate every second of it. But you come back and you really appreciate what you got, sort of thing. Whereas, you know, these days you can sort of avoid that pretty easily, I reckon. Yeah.
You go to a gym class for an hour.
And we
think, you know, you get through it.
Exactly.
Like, it might be hard, but it's not continuous.
That's right. Yeah. You think you're pushing yourself, but it's like you can actually go so much further if you're really pushed. I was thinking about that.
I think that's good. I just think these days, like, getting insurance and things.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know
how someone could actually run a business like that. And like, I know how hard it is just to get insurance, and I speak on stage.
Yeah.
Like, people sit down or stand up and play a game like we just played.
Yeah.
And that's getting hard to get. So imagine
that's so shit.
Taking people out into the wilderness.
It's so crazy, like, just do it. Black market. Just do it behind closed doors. I'll just give you a big bag of cash. Take me out there and fucking nearly kill me. What about, did you see Andy and Tyler, what they did?
Yeah, I did.
What was that?
Yeah, so I don't know if people here are familiar with CrossFit workouts. I don't know if you are, but there's one called Murph where you put on a 20, I think it's 10, I'm going to get this wrong, 10 or 12 kilo weight vest.
Yeah.
You've got to run 1.6 miles, which is essentially nearly 3 kilometers.
Close to 3, yeah.
Then you've got to do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and I think it's 300 sit-ups, and then you run the 1.6 miles again.
Like 100 pull-ups with the 12K vest on.
Yep, 200 push-ups with the vest on, and then 300 sit-ups or squats, one of those. This is just off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you do the 3-kilometer run again. And so they, over a 24-hour period, they did 6 of those. So shout out to I actually saw Andy at the gym this morning, and he demonstrating a box jump, and he nearly fell over. It was that sore.
As you would be. Fucking
mate,
hell.
That's
insane.
A lot. So you've just done 600 pull-ups.
So with 18K run, 600 pull-ups.
1,250
squats.
push-ups with a weighted vest.
Fuck.
And that's not really, like, an over a 24-hour period, you're not really sleeping much. Yeah, wow.
Anyway, good on them. Well, there you go. That's exactly what we're talking about. Like,
I know.
Doing these things, they seem crazy. Like, people might look at it and go, you know, how stupid's that? Like, what? But, like, imagine the feeling of satisfaction he'd be feeling today. Or,
oh, yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? Look like he was moving very well, but his body, like, might not have enjoyed it.
But how
good's
that feeling?
Oh, best.
I love when my body's cooked, and because you've just smashed, you know, whether it's a half marathon or a big run or a big this or that and you're feeling cooked, that's a great feeling because you know you've pushed yourself and, you know.
Yeah, but that's – I agree. Mm. I agree. And so that's what you've got coming up to your marathon. That's essentially your – and you've got to have something locked in, I feel.
Yeah.
Otherwise, nothing happens.
Yeah.
You've got to be intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it's like it actually – because I've got a bit of time for it, sort of – it's now I'm sort of thinking, all right, do I give it a real crack to – you know, because I might – well – I may as well, huh?
I reckon
like,
you should.
Yeah, and it's like, you know.
Would you try and drop a few kilos?
Yeah. I reckon.
I reckon like, you probably need to do that.
If I really want to give it a go, I'd probably, you know, really up my running.
Yeah.
I think I've got about 6 months, so plenty of time to train and stuff. But yeah, I spoke to the great Jess Trengove, who just ran a PB over in Seoul, qualified for the Olympics, I'm pretty sure,
wow.
5 months after having her second kid. Ran a 2:22 marathon. So she's just an absolute weapon. But
that's it. We should get her on the pod.
We should. Yeah, oh my God. She'd love it. She's such a she does a fair bit of talking actually, but she's just a weapon. So
that's so quick.
We'll get her on. Yeah, I think it was like three minute thirty K pace or even under or something. Like, it's just stupid pace.
That's ridiculous.
But yeah, I spoke to her after that and I said, oh, I've got my marathon coming up. You know, let's
a little bit insulting.
Yeah. No. It was, you know, certainly wasn't saying that I'd be challenging her sort of. But I just sort of asked, you know, what in terms of like a beginner runner, what sort of training should you be doing? And she said, you know, oh, what are you doing at the moment? I said, oh, sort of one run a week. She said, yeah, you're going to have to up that to
running.
At least sort of 3 to 4 a week. So, you know, as I get a bit closer to it, I think I'll start having to really knuckle down on the run.
I think that's one sport, running. You just need to have the Ks in the legs.
That zone 2, they say.
Yeah.
Zone 2 running.
You just got to get it in there. Mm. I've got that Hyrox coming up in about, I think it's about 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah. Are you doing that solo?
Nah, I'm doing it with Breezer. Gotcha. So we're doing it together. I bought that for her birthday. I don't think she was that impressed if that's a birthday present.
I hope there was something else there on the side or not.
Yeah, it's a pair of runners.
Yeah.
No, there actually was. Nice. Like, I'm not.
No, very. Yeah. You're not sending a message or something.
You know, like an iron. That's really degrading. I bought something that we could share together.
Yeah,
like,
say nice. See, that's what it was about. Yeah, it's so not. You're not saying, Breezer, come on, get to the gym.
And
you're
saying no, because she goes to the gym. I said I would like to do something
together.
Yes,
the love.
And I'm not trying to be like rude. When I tell people, if their birthday, they look at me like, oh, well, that's not. But what it'll give us will be a memory,
an experience,
and one that we have. It's not like going out for dinner or a movie. Yep. Oh, we're going to do something together.
Yeah, as we were saying, achieve something together. Yes. And it's also about the journey of training for it.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you all these weeks of how are we going, you know, should we get on the...
Probably need to do a bit more running. Because that is a big component of it. But, I think that's one thing about it. Now, I've got one for you. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a bit more serious here, Jacko.
Okay.
Breeze has been away for work again, so I had the boys. And I find this really, really weird. But, like, so a couple of times, like, I took them out for breakfast to the general store around the corner, and I had two different occasions, two ladies come up and go, and just watching. I'm like, everything good? She goes, oh, I'm just watching. Like, it's so amazing what you're doing here. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm a dad. I've got two boys there. I'm eating breakfast. But she goes, it's so good to see what you're doing. I'm like, and I looked around the cafe. And his mum's doing exactly the same thing, but what I'm doing, like, I get recognition. And I come home and told Brett, she goes, no one's ever said that to me. It's happened to me twice in the space of a month.
Mm.
I was like, and also, like, when I'm just taking for a walk, oh, you're such a good dad. You're doing, I'm just walking my kids.
The like, expectations are very different.
I know these people didn't mean it by what they were saying, but we're so backwards still. Like,
but I mean, it's not on them.
It's not on them.
All they're doing is saying, oh, they like what you're doing.
It's a really nice thing. Yeah. But then also I'm like, that's so unfair. Firstly, for dads, like, they're my kids, but I should be doing half as much as what I am. And Bree's going away for work. I go away for work.
Mm.
That's not like I should get a pat on the back, but it's like, that's what it's It sort of is.
Mm, yeah, I mean, obviously the tradition is, you know, woman stays at home, the mum stays at home with the kids. And so I think clearly you're going to see a lot more mums out there with their kids at a cafe. So when someone sees it, you know, they probably haven't seen it as much. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, that's, you know, good on you because you're bucking the trend a little bit or, you know, so...
I get it.
I get what you're saying. I get, you know,
I just think it's really unfair because I bet those, I'm not going to say who they were or what gender or anything, but those people weren't going up to the females. They were doing exactly the same thing and giving them the compliments.
Mm.
I don't know. I just think so many things still, like we're so progressive in the way we think we're living, but then we're still so backwards. Like in that, and you've only just got to look at like domestic violence and, you know, the Bondi stabbing and then Ballarat, I think there's been 3 murders in a month or all women, you know, like in it. I don't know. You see things like that. I don't know.
Mm.
What's your thoughts on that? Because I just think it's like, well, I personally.
I guess I think that's probably why you're getting these compliments because men, you know, we're like the aggression and, you know, male violence is clearly a huge issue and women are dying, you know, every single week.
Yeah, which is fucked.
It's reality, isn't it?
I know,
it?
But it's, how's it?
Of course it's fucked. But
how does that change? Like,
yeah, I know, that's what I sort of, you know, I struggle with because I obviously don't know. And a lot of people jump on social media and, you know, like, this is just crazy, we've got to stop it. But it's like, what can you do? Like, how do you change it? And like we've spoken about it a lot here, but I think all of this stuff, it like comes down to education and, you know, as kids, I think if you're taught as a kid, you know, instead of, I don't know, half the pointless shit that you learn at school when you're growing up, I think it's like, you know, if you can teach morals and, you know, what's important, what's really important and how to treat people and what's acceptable and what's not when you're a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, you know, I think that's, for me, that's where the biggest change would come.
Yeah.
Because then those kids grow up and they become parents and they, you know, I think that's where it all starts. But, you know, it's a very, very hard issue and I don't have all the answers by any means. And, you know, it's a tough one because, you know, who makes the decision on what, you know, you need to change, how you change it. Everyone would have different opinions and, you know.
I think that's why we're in this situation. I agree, it comes to education, but unfortunately that a lot of time you can do whatever you want at school. And I've seen this firsthand when I was teaching that the programs and things you do at school are brilliant, but then the kids go home, you've got no control what's happening there.
Mm.
And it's the parents,
the
ones that are then taking control of what their kids do. They're their role models. So it's generational. Like, absolutely. You need to break that cycle. But
and
how do you do that?
Yeah, I'm sure those, you know, violent parents and, or, you know, whatever, like I'm sure they probably experienced it as kids.
Just keeps getting passed down.
And so
it's like an inheritance of a really bad form that no one needs to, they don't know how to break it because they know that's just what they do. That's all they've ever known.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's,
it's accepted.
That's where I think like it's so admirable. Like when, you know, if someone has come from a family of that, you know, of that nature sort of thing, like people who do break that cycle in their families, like whether even drinking or, you know, drugs or whatever it might be, it's like when you're the one to actually break that cycle and say, no, that's not the norm, because it is so difficult. If that's the standard that you've grown up with, it's so difficult to avoid it, you know. Yeah. You know, even like you see, you know, unhealthy, overweight families or whatever, often it goes to it. It sort of trickles down because, you know, what the parents are eating and what the comes down to the kid and, you know, very hard to, as a child to like stand up and break that and say, nah, I'm going to do something different or.
Yeah. Particularly when it's parents, junk food or something like.
Yeah. When you're in, exactly. So yeah, it's a bloody tough one and, you know, I don't know enough about it to be an expert and to have
I don't think anyone does, but I think just talking about it and I don't know, probably we're talking about it and the people need to listen and hear things like this, don't listen to podcasts. Oh, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't I'm very fortunate that I don't know anyone that does has been done for domestic violence or has been in a relationship or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, probably, a lot of it goes on.
Yeah, exactly. And like we'd probably be surprised, like, you know, you say you don't know anyone, but
yeah, you probably,
we don't know anything, you know, there's a
people
lot.
People don't talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not out there. And, you know, I think as like I remember growing up as a kid and you think, oh, that doesn't happen and that doesn't happen and abuse doesn't happen and sexual assault doesn't happen. Like, nah, not where we live and blah, blah, blah. And you grow up and you find out pretty quickly that it's everywhere. So, you know, it's a tough issue and I don't really know how to handle it. But
nah, but I think just talking about, I think anything that it comes down to is talking, educating and trying to learn and get better. And I feel it's like when you don't, if someone's going through a rough period or, you know, someone's passed away or something, if you don't even know how to talk to them, by not doing it is actually worse than just trying, like just starting a conversation and no one's got all the answers, but just sort of starting it. And sort of like what we did today, though, like we've mumbled around this because, and I think a lot of people do because there is no clear path. It's not like a marathon, you know, you need to run to do it.
Yeah. Yep,
that's how you train.
Mm.
For domestic violence and all these things going on, there's no clear path of how we change that or how we educate people to change what is happening because women don't feel safe to go outside now. And that, like even Bree, she was in Newcastle as she away for work. Her accommodation was 300 metres away from the restaurant or pub where they're having dinner and she had to wait an hour for someone else to leave so she could, because she didn't feel safe walking back. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just walk? And this is like naive of me, but she goes, I don't feel safe. And I'm like, far out. Imagine anywhere just not feeling safe. Like we live in Australia. We live in one of the most brilliant, lucky countries in the world where women don't even feel safe to walk. Like Newcastle's a big city, just walk 300 metres. That's just sad. That's what makes me sad. And we take it for granted, Jack, that we can, and I'm sure if we're in the wrong place at the right time, we probably couldn't either, but we don't have to worry about that. That's so unfair.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's not her responsibility to have to take care of us, you know, like to avoid walking through, you know, but yeah, the reality is it happens and it happens pretty often. So are you going to take that chance? Can you be bothered taking that chance when, you know, Breeze has got two kids and a, you know, partner and it's like, well, I've just read about this woman getting taken, you know, off the street. Yeah, so it's difficult. And you know, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, change the topic a little bit there, but I think it is important to have chats like that. We talk about a lot of different things and I think that is, one that's, seems to be getting worse, like I suppose, like a lot of things.
Yeah. I think, and as men, like I think, what can you do? It's like just show as much support and understanding, and not, you know, I think I've certainly been around where like these topics come up, and guys like just shoot it down, or oh, it's their fault, or it's this, or it's that, and it's like the more you can, you know, support the other way and just be there and, you know.
Like you on the bridge at the Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like.
Yeah. Just stand up for what you believe in and what you, you know, and actually, you know, even,
have those hard conversations if you hear something like, no, that's not right.
Mm.
Because that's when you pull someone up like that, that's. Well, some people just won't change.
Yeah, exactly.
But if they don't, they're not the sort of people I want to be around anyway. I'm like, okay, life's short. We don't have many chances now to catch up with people. So do you want to be hanging around with someone like that? No.
Yeah.
So if you do hear it, I agree. Pull them up on it. Because a lot of time people don't actually realize what their words are doing. Like those people on the bridge, you know, they throw away comment to get a laugh with the boys. They wouldn't have really understood the impact that could have on someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why it's important to stand up and say those things.
Yeah. Agreed.
TV shows, Jacko. I've got one for you.
Yes.
I haven't watched much TV.
Oh, good one.
Started one last night. Apparently, mentioned Bree a lot tonight, but I suppose I don't really leave the house much, Jacko. So I spend a lot of time with my wife. There's a new show called Baby Reindeer.
Baby on Netflix. Reindeer.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, it is full on. So it's good. It's like a drama, dark comedy.
Yep.
And it's about this guy that works at a bar and he gets stalked. Oh. But it's, yeah, so the guy's getting stalked by this. Anyway, I only watched 3 episodes. They're short episodes, only 30 minutes each.
Yep.
So I dare say we'll finish it over this weekend, 7 in the series.
Whoa. Yeah, there's a bit going on.
It's good, yes.
Okay.
So if I could make a recommendation.
Baby Reindeer.
Baby Reindeer.
I've just finished Shogun.
Shogun.
Shogun. It's on Disney. It was like a Japanese sort of old period show. It was pretty epic, like quite slow and sort of very focused on character development and conversations. And but I loved it. I love sort of Japanese history and the samurai. Oh, I love it. So
have you been to Japan?
No, still haven't.
Oh, Jacko, if there's one place you need to go.
I've heard. Oh. Everyone that goes says it's amazing. Mate. So that's on the list. And then I've just started Fallout. So Fallout. Christopher Nolan's brother, Jonah Nolan, I think his name is, he's directing it. And he wrote Interstellar and Memento and, you know, helped with the Batmans and all that. So, but he doesn't obviously get the credit because Christopher Nolan's the big director and he's the big brother who does everything. So, yeah, but this Fallout show, it's based on a game and it's, yeah, pretty epic. So just watch like the first
what do you
episode.
Mean a game?
Like a video game, yeah.
Where they're in a video game.
So, no, it's based, so there's a video game called Fallout.
Oh, okay.
And you go and play it and it's basically like, you know, in the future they drop bombs on America and then everyone has to go underground and, you know, try to survive until the radiation moves away and blah, blah, blah. So,
is it actually a real game or is this?
Yeah, it's a real game. Oh. It's like one of the, you know, highest rating games ever. It's epic.
I'm a bit out of touch. Yeah. I'm not a gamer.
So I miss the game, but
but you like the show.
But supposedly it's epic.
I'm trying to get my head around it because gaming is massive. You just got to look at esports and.
I actually listened to this podcast with Jonah Nolan and he was saying like back in the day, like, games were able to be a lot more like risky with their storytelling and stuff than what TV shows and movies were because, you know, the big producers and stuff, like if it was a really touchy topic, like
they'd steer clear.
They'd say, nah, we don't want to produce that. Whereas games, they sort of had a free rein. And so like the politics and the story in these games was so much more like hard hitting and like
the narrative
yeah. Like it was, and so that's what they've run with. And now that he's finally got this green lit and he's supposedly it's pretty full on. So
wow,
looking forward to that
one. That's cool. Yeah. Because that's what gaming is. It's a narrative. It's a storytelling. Yeah, and that's essentially what hooks people in. They become part of it because it's so good.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where like so many different industries are trying to use gamification to build engagement. And I think that's where schools could really – I know we don't always like talking about gaming, but look at the engagement they get. Kids won't play till they nearly die because they're so engaged with it.
Yeah.
How can we get more of that in school to bring across – things
in a productive way.
100%. So not just to learn literacy and numeracy, like to learn life skills like we've just spoken about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How can you do that? And that's the trillion-dollar question because nobody's been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
They can figure out how to do games so well.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, how do you create that fun and engagement whilst, you know, In a positive sort of
way. 1, 2, excited. 4, 5,
excited. Hey, that got me.
Got you. I wish you had a film that your face was on there. final one for me, were you part of the shoot for Squash?
No, I've seen
you popping up a lot more now.
Absolutely not. I was called the human coat hanger. So all of our product.
And you just hold them.
Yeah, they just, all right, take that one off, chuck it at me, bang. I'll just carry that one, I carry this one. What do you need? Yeah, I'll get you that one. Do you need a coffee? Anyone need anything to eat? So I was just like the little, you know, the little minion on the shoot that kept everyone happy. So pretty much what I do in life, really. It's good fun.
Well, Jacko, pleasure as always.
What have you? You're off to play some golf.
I am off to play some golf
today. How are you feeling? Are you confident?
I've been trying to play a little bit more because I hadn't played for a few years and I played for you and I was horrendous. And I don't like sucking at something, so I've been hitting them okay. It's a great game. Oh. It's like running. You've got to keep doing it.
Yeah, true.
And so I went to the range last week. And ooh. So I've been hitting some balls. Okay. So anyway, we'll wait and see. Bought some new golf shoes.
Oh, okay. That makes all the difference.
Yeah, my other one, getting wet socks. And I'm like, gone.
I shot a nice little 76 round St Andrews last Sunday. So that was
you're getting close to being a pro.
That was about as good as I've hit them for a long time. So, but I haven't been out since, and now because it's been a week and a half, you'll go out next time. You'll have no idea what you're doing. That's the frustrating thing. But
76 off the stick, though.
Yeah, it was pretty solid.
After you said you're going to be a gold pro,
here we come.
So is that four over?
Yeah, I think it was about four or five. Or what's I don't know what St Andrews is. Four or five over, six over. Anyway. And with a lost ball on the last, hit my third off the tee. Could have been anything. Could have been anything.
It could have been nearly scratched.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, let's get Georgie on next week. We'll have a bit of a better week where we're a bit more structured from the get-go.
You're not flying anywhere, are you, mate? Well, there's a positive.
I was so flustered this week. I just cancelled everything for the weekend.
I did see you yesterday and you did look flustered. Mate. You look better now.
Yeah, feel better. I just did all my washing, did some vacuuming yesterday. Day off just does wonders, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Got it all done. Just got life in order, which is... That's what I needed. I just hadn't had a chance since the wedding, come straight back into work. You got nothing done. Nothing's clean. House is not clean.
Yeah, that's anxiety.
It's anxiety.
Life skills need to be done. You're running with your old mate Aaron. Getting the errands done. Yeah. There we go. All right, everyone. Peace out. Be good.
Have a good weekend. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves.